So looking back, looking forward, they're both kind of part of what our lives are. You know, I told you last week I went to that CBI, the Calvary Bible Institute, and kind of gave a testimony, a story of, you know, how we got to where we are and kind of the different steps in our lives. And sometimes it's good to look back and hopefully it was encouraging to them and you know, how we left San Diego. And some of you don't know our story, and I'm not going to go into all of it, but, you know, we went from San Diego to Twin Peaks, California, and Bible school there, and met my wife there, and then we went back to San Diego and more Bible school, and then we went to England. This is the jet version. Then we went to Central California, and from there we went back to Twin Peaks, California, and from there we came to New England. And that took about 10 minutes. No, it took a long time, you know, but the different steps, you know, in your lives, and we ended up in Warwick and then ended up here in North Kingstown for, it's been 16 years. We've been here in this building. Yeah, time is really moving on. So, you know, looking back, you know, you can learn a lot of different things and looking ahead, you know, there's definitely purposes in that as well. I'm just thinking about our church. You know, some things are clear and some things are yet to be determined. Isn't that partially true in our lives? Things we just don't know yet. But we can pray and ask God's will to be done. And I would just ask you today to pray for this church, for the future of this church, that we want to see God continue to do what He wants to do here, no matter what. So pray for that. Pray that God's hand would be on the future of this church. The scriptures, when you read the Bible, you know, huge sections of the scriptures are history. In fact, they're looking back and giving testimony of things that have happened in the past. And it's a big part of what our Bible tells us. And we can learn a lot from it. The New Testament says, you know, these things were written so we could be encouraged. Now, some of the things that were written, you know, the Bible's also very honest. Some of the things are, like, not so good. Like, wow, he did that or she did that. Yeah, because that's, you know, the history of the human race. But there's something about having a testimony, having a story, and really, the true testimony is not about what we have done or who we are. It's what God has done. It's His story, right? The history. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 says that they overcame Him, that is the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. So this testimony, you know, again, it wasn't something about them. It was what God had done. And ultimately, what God had done at the cross, saving them. And the enemy can't fight against the cross. He can't fight against God. He can't fight against what God wants to do. But you and I, to be surrendered completely, they did not love their lives to the death. Surrendered to what God wanted to do. So it's okay to look back, and I think part of looking back is this idea of examining our ways, looking back like, how am I doing? You know, if you work at a company where they do like reviews every year, they look back and say, well, how'd you do? You know, what's going on? Are you like doing a good job, or are you just a lazy good for nothing and we're going to get rid of you right now? Lamentations of Jeremiah, it says in chapter 3, it says this, let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. Let us lift our hearts and hands to God in heaven. So there's something about looking back, examining our ways, but it's also looking forward. You look back and you say, well, what do I need to do going forward? And Jeremiah says we need to turn back. We need to turn back to the Lord. We need to lift our hearts and our hands to God in heaven. So looking back's good, and we examine our lives. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13, he said to examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you fail the test? So there's a sense where looking back at my life is, am I really a follower of Jesus Christ? You have to ask yourself that. Or do I just go to church? Do I just say the words? Did I just say a prayer sometime? And James is real big on this. We're going to get back to James starting next week. Is it real? Examine yourself, Paul says, to see whether you are in the faith. If you're not, well, my word to you would be get in the faith. Amen. And give your life to Jesus and don't hold back. Don't love your lives. That's how you're going to conquer the enemy in this world. We're going to have communion later, and you know what? Don't take communion if you're not a follower of Jesus. You're not. It doesn't do anything. That's religion. But a relationship is what we're going to talk about next week. So it's okay to look back, and there are purposes in it, and to see what God has done. But we can't stay there. You can't stay in the past. The past is gone. It's already done. You know, sometimes, and I find myself doing this, well, thinking about the good old days, you know. And even about the church, the good old days when we, you know, we met in the Knights of Columbus Hall, and we just had, you know, a handful of people, and there was just something so incredible about that, you know, when the guys came in, they found their pool table full of little New Testaments and all kinds of toys from the kids, because that's where the kids met downstairs, where the pool table was. And we couldn't deny it. I mean, it was the New Testament after all, you know. We were just renting from them. But stuff like that, you know, you can look back and say, oh, those were the good old days, you know, and the old is better, you know. But God doesn't want us to do that. He doesn't want us to live in the past. What's the future got for us? Solomon, that wise man, said this. He said, do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it's not wise to ask such questions. Why were the old days better than these? The old days are gone. It's done. It's over. Yeah, we can look back for different reasons, but we need to look ahead. You know, the history of the Israelites, as I mentioned, there's a lot of history there, that they, you know, they got delivered from Egypt, right? They were in bondage. They were slaves. And they got delivered from Egypt, but they got out there and things got a little tough, and so they started remembering what the good parts of life was. It was mostly all bad, but they remembered the good parts, that they actually had food. And they wanted to go back. They wanted to get, you know, just forget Moses. Let's go back to Egypt. The Got Questions website said this: living in the past is a form of losing touch with reality. It's not real. They said it's better to focus on God's work in the present and His rock-solid promises for the future. What is God doing right now? And what does God want to do in the future? The past is done. It's over. You know, sometimes I look in the rearview mirror too much when I'm driving, and that can be kind of dangerous. What's going to happen if you only look in the rearview mirror? You're going to crash. Now, we can learn from the past, and I think we should learn from the past. But we can't dwell on the past. You remember the story in Genesis chapter 19, Lot and his wife. You know, they're being delivered from Sodom and Gomorrah, and God was doing something powerful there. But they were told, go, but don't look back, right? So what happened? Lot's wife looked back. She never made it out. It says she was turned into a pillar of salt. I don't know exactly what happened to her, but something happened, and she did not make it because she was looking back. God had something better in the future for her. So the passage I should have had you turn already today, the passage I want to look at today is in Philippians chapter 3. So why don't you turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Now, I know that you men have done an in-depth study on the book of Philippians and the men's study. But it doesn't hurt to repeat, does it? Because half of you are not men and you were not there. Right? Philippians chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 4. It says, though I myself, Paul says, have reasons for such confidence. Actually, let's start in verse 3. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews in regard to the law, a Pharisee as for zeal, persecuting the church as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. Paul looks back to his past, to his heritage, to who he was, and you know what? He said, you know, there was a lot of good things that were part of my past. But he talks about it as putting confidence in the flesh, like looking back on that as something that you can take credit for or be proud about. But look what he says in verse 7, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. All that stuff in the past, it doesn't matter for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. You see, All that stuff in his past, all the things he did, it didn't matter. None of it was important compared to his present relationship with Jesus. Knowing, he talks about. Not that he knew Jesus in the past. He says, knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, right now. All that stuff, you know, it's done, it's over. Right now, it's all about knowing Jesus, having a relationship with him. He said, I consider it's all rubbish, it's all trash. Verse 9, and be found in him that I may gain Christ, be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. And look what he says in verse 10, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul was looking forward here. He said, yeah, I have a past, but I can't depend on that. I need Jesus now, and I want to look forward to what Jesus has for me in the future. And of course, that's heaven, we know that, but is it only heaven? It's what about the here and now? What about the lives that we have right now? Whatever amount of time we have left on this earth, we don't know how long we have. I don't know how much time I have left on this earth. That's his decision. But how am I going to spend that time that I have left? What's it going to look like? What are the important things? Paul is saying here, these are the most important things. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. That's what's important. This is something that you and I need to ask ourselves. Again, we look back and say, okay, but what about looking forward? What's my life going to be like in the next who knows how many years? Or months or weeks. We don't know. But Paul said, this is what's important. What's important in this life? I still remember that little saying, you know, only one life. How's that go?
One life to
now I now I don't I now I can't remember. Only say it again.
Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ.
Only what's done for Christ will last. There's a lot of stuff we do is only, you know, it's just now do we have to get up and go to work or we just sit in our, you know, house and say, I just want to know Jesus? No, we still got to do what we have to do, but is he a part of all that? Or is he just like the leftovers, you know, the 5 minutes at the end of, you know, the day before we just fall asleep and that's all he gets? Paul says, you know, Paul had a very busy, active life, but he had Jesus. He says, I want to know Jesus in all of it. Even the suffering parts of it, he says there. Look at verse 12. Now, we're talking about Paul the Apostle here, right? This guy is incredible. I mean, we know that, right? Paul the Apostle. He gave us, you know, a huge section of the New Testament. A theologian, you know, you name it, an evangelist, a pastor. An elder, an apostle, all these different things. This guy, Paul the Apostle. But look what he says in verse 12. He says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect. I haven't gotten there yet. I haven't arrived. I haven't been made perfect. I'm not there. I need to go forward. How many of you can say, well, you know, I'm in a pretty good place. I think I got it now. I'm all set. You better come up afterwards. We'll pray for you, deliver you from that spirit of pride, because it's not true. If Paul the Apostle didn't make it, he wasn't there yet. You know, where are you and I? Now, that's not to put us into condemnation, because Paul the Apostle says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But it is a challenge to us. Like, what is my life really all about? What do I see my life being all about? What does he say in the rest of that verse? But he says, but, I haven't arrived, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. That's a powerful statement. You know, we kind of stop at the I press on. You know, I'm going to press on. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep pressing on. I'm going to press on. But what does he say here? Look what he says. He said, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. That's different, isn't it? It's not just pressing on for what I think I should do, but pressing on to take hold of what Jesus has for me. Jesus has a plan for each of our lives. Are we actively asking him, what do you want me to do in this world? What do you want? How do you want me to serve? What kind of person should I be? He took hold of you and me. He has a purpose for our life. I just opened to the scripture this morning, just opened my Bible and turned to there. He says that he's going to fulfill his purposes for my life. But you know what? You and I have a part to play in that. We can fight against that. There are many, many people who God put a call in their lives to do one thing or another, and they just said, no, I'm not going to do it. I won't do it. And you can fight against it, but how fulfilling is that? At the end, what are we going to say? He says it again in verse 13. Look, he said, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. Now, Paul, this guy, he was a missionary, right? He went to this place called Philippi. He's writing a letter. He's, you know, This is one of the prison epistles. He's in jail, and he says, I really haven't got everything that God has for me yet. And yet he was serving more than you and I combined in this room. So what does that tell us? I haven't taken hold of it yet. Again, this isn't for condemnation. This is a challenge for you and I. Have you taken hold? Have I taken hold of everything that God has? Sometimes we just kind of say, well, yeah, I'm doing this now. But maybe God has something more. Maybe God has something bigger. Maybe he has something less, but it's what he wants. That's the question, isn't it? Look what he says. The second half of that verse, he says, but it's kind of like the verse before. Maybe this is Hebrew poetry, parallelism, where they'll say one thing and then they'll say it again. He says, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize. This one thing I do, he just had talked about his past in this chapter. But he says that this is important. I need to forget what's behind. Now, if you look up that word in your what? Blue Letter Bible, you'll see that the definition includes this thought of neglect or no longer caring for or refusing to focus on. It's hard for us to completely forget the past, right? But he says, I'm not going to focus on that. I'm going to focus on what's ahead. Some of us, you know, our past has not been very nice. And we can live there and we can, our lives, and I find myself doing this from time to time. I start thinking about things that happened in the past and it just completely consumes. And it cripples you. It doesn't allow you to do anything. But Paul says, I'm not going to focus on those things. I have things to do ahead. Now, Paul talks about it. He says he's the chief of sinners. He looked back on his life. Now, maybe, you know, the kinds of things he did were not the kinds of things that you and I did. But he actually, you know, was having Christians killed. He was persecuting the church. He said it. But he said, you know, I'm going to press on to the goal. I'm going to press on to what's ahead. I'm going to strain. It takes some diligence. It takes some effort to strain to reach what God has for us. It's not just sitting at home. It's not just, you know, sitting in the chair waiting for something to happen, waiting for someone to knock on the door. There's a verse that I really love. It's in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. I'll read it to you. It says this, but the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. It's getting brighter and brighter. How many of you have ever watched the sunrise? Now, you say that's a dumb question, but, you know, before I moved to New England, I didn't know there was such a thing as a moonrise, and I had never watched the moonrise. I didn't know what it was. I remember this guy wrote a song, you know, from the past. He says, I never watched the sunrise till I stayed up all night. Well, but you know what? Sunrise is one of the most beautiful things. You know, we are blessed where we live that if we looked out certain windows during the winter when there's no leaves on the tree, we can watch the sunrise. And sometimes, you know, when there are more clouds, you know, it's even more brilliant. But I like to see that, and I look up the time to see when it's going to be, and I like to see that little dot of the sun just coming over the horizon. And I feel bad if I miss it, because if I get distracted, I'm reading, and this is my quiet time, if I miss it. But I say, well, tomorrow's another day. But I watch that little dot, and you can't keep staring at it because it starts to get brighter and brighter, and finally it is like, you know, this bright orange, and then when it gets even higher, it's like more of a white light, it's clear light. But the fact is, it just gets brighter and brighter and brighter. That's what the Proverbs writer is saying for you and I. The path of the righteous, you and I, made right with God, is like the light of dawn. It's going to shine brighter and brighter and brighter until full day. Paul's saying the same thing. I want to get brighter and brighter. I'm pressing toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward, or the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul's saying to you and to me, we need to run. And we need to run hard. You know, we get tired. I get tired. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, he said, run in such a way that you may obtain it. That is the prize. The writer to the Hebrews says this in chapter 12, let us run with perseverance, with endurance, the race that is set before us. That's looking ahead. You can't run the race looking back. You got to look ahead, look forward. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's at the finish line waiting for us, cheering us on. Jesus, what's ahead for you, for me? What kind of perseverance is he looking for in us? Jesus said these words in Luke chapter 9. He said, but God said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You put your hand to the plow, don't look back. Don't look back, look ahead. You know, you need to have your eyes on getting a straight furrows with that plow. So let me ask you this before we have communion. What does God want to do in my life, in your life, this year? I said it last time. I'm not big on these resolutions, but I think we need to ask God. It's more of a prayer than a resolution. God, what do you want to do in my life this coming year? Or maybe this coming month, or maybe this week, or maybe today. What do you want to do? God, what do you want to do in my life? Peter said that God had given us all that we need. All that we need for life and godliness. He's given us all to us. But he went on to say after that these words. He said, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. When I look at this, I see this isn't something you get all at once. This is a process. This is something that's taking place where you're adding these things, that God is doing something in your life. But Peter, this fisherman, this simple fisherman, said, listen, and when you look at the words that he uses, it's incredible. This is a guy that's been affected by his relationship with Jesus. And he's saying, I want to grow. I want fruit in my life. In fact, he says it as well, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you going to grow this year? Do you want to grow this year? Are you just kind of happy? You're just going through the motions? I think he wants more. He wants our paths to be brighter and brighter. He wants more for you and for me. So I just picked three, and these are just things that I think are important to me. But I think these three areas, these things of devotional life, things of relationships and serving. You know, I talk about this a lot because I think it is absolutely essential to have a devotional life. Absolutely essential. If you hear one thing from me, it's you need to have a devotional life. You need to have a devotional life. I did a little bit of math. I used to be good in math, but if you took 10 minutes a day and you were faithful with 10 minutes a day, that adds up to about, what? Let's say 50 hours a week. Actually, my math was bad. I did it wrong. 50 hours a week. No, I did it right. 50 minutes a week. Okay. So let's just kind of round it up to 60. You get one day off. Right? 60 minutes a week. How many weeks are there in a year? 52 weeks. Let's say you took a couple weeks off. That's 50 hours of time. 50 hours of time just by 10 minutes a day. That's a lot, right? You go to work and, you know, you work 40 hours a week, maybe 50 if you're working overtime, and you can get a lot done. 10 minutes a day. Do you have 10 minutes a day? Oh, no, I got 300 channels on that TV that I'm paying for that I gotta get all my money's worth out of. I got the Roku, man, whatever that is. But I don't got 10 minutes. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, that's wrong. I'm just going to flat out say that is wrong. We look at our phones, and your phones will tell you how much time you spent looking at that phone. It's embarrassing. But how many times are you looking into the face of Jesus, into His Word? 10 minutes a day. Can you do that? I'm not saying this for condemnation. I'm saying this as a challenge because this is real. This is real life. Relationships, I think we all need to work on our relationships. I really do. I need to reach out to people. I'm realizing I need to reach out to people. I need to build stronger relationships with family, with friends. I need to do that. And serving. Not serving myself, but serving other people. What can you do to help someone else? You know, that's where the joy is. It really is. So let's have communion. We have time, right? You got time? Okay. We're going to have the communion passed out. I'm going to play a little song for you here called Pressing On. And I think it's a good way to prepare for us to have communion. So... let's have that passed out, and Chris is going to play that for us, and then we'll partake together.